Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. Thank you for listening to our program this morning. Again, we remind you of the change coming January 2013. We were answering your Bible questions on the air. Please write down those questions and send them to us, care of the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. Give your questions on any Bible subject, and we will give you a Bible answer. Also, check out our website, www.harrisburgchurchofchrist.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also, at the end of this broadcast, will give you our service times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want you to know that you're cordially invited to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Last week, we began a short study in the subject of the fall of Israel, looking at the mistakes of the Old Testament nation and as they fell away from God and were destroyed as His people because of their disobedience. Last week we looked at the first three steps, the lack of knowledge, their pride, and their instability. We want to conclude that list by looking at the last four this morning. Our next step is in Hosea chapter 7 and verse number 8. Ephraim mixes himself with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake not turned. God's desire was to make His people a special people, different from others in the world. Please read Exodus chapter 23, verse 31 through 33. They were told not to intermarry. Don't make it covenants with the foreign nations. Don't leave their idols up in the land. And do not show them mercy or pity, because I am driving them out because of their sinfulness. Why? Because it would mix the people of God with the world. How many of these points did God's people listen and follow? Sadly, they did not listen, and they did none of them. They intermarried. They made covenants. They left the idols in the land, and they left people in the land that would later become their enemies and would eventually drive them out of the land that God gave them. Yes, they had to learn the hard way. Are we much different today? Worldliness is a great problem in the church today. What happens when the world cannot tell the difference from those who are members of the Lord's church and those who are in the world and in the grasp of Satan? There is a line of demarcation between us and the world. Let us respect it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 17 to the end of the chapter, God tells us to be separate, to come out from among them. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we're told not to conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In 1 John chapter 2, we're commanded, beginning in verse 15 through 17, not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And they are of the world, and they are not of God. And the world is passing away, and their lust thereof. Don't be ashamed to be different. When we try to act like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, and then to conduct ourselves according to the standards of the world, then we have lost our identity, and we are no longer the people of distinction, and we no longer are the people that people can look at and glorify God because they see Jesus living in us. Mixing with the world, that was another step down their downward spiral. Next, in Hosea chapter 9 and verse number 9. Hosea 9 and verse 9. They have gone deep into depravity, as in the days of Geba. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. You see, they had become corrupted. They had gone headlong into corruption. This was marked by immodesty, perversion, depravity, decay, rot, and they were morally contaminated. When the first four sins take place, this one will logically follow them. When you have a lack of knowledge, when you have pride in yourself, you have no stability, and you try to mix with the world, this step is inevitable, that you will begin to corrupt yourself. God told them that they had become a wicked nation, more wicked than the nations that God sent them to destroy. Imagine that. But 2 Kings 21 verse 9 teaches that truth. They had become so disobedient they were now more wicked than the ungodly nation God sent them to drive out. This disobedience led them to become corrupted in God's sight, and because of that corruption, God destroyed them. The examples of the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' time in Matthew chapter 23, one of the strictest rebukes that God ever gave to people because of their hypocrisy. They said, but they did not do. They did not have mercy and justice mixed with following God's law. Vain, self-righteousness, and abomination to God. Please read John chapter 8, verse 53 through 58. When men's hearts are corrupted to do evil, God is not pleased. He is displeased. Proverbs chapter 3, 23 and verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus correctly showed that the things that corrupt a man are those things that come from his heart. When something is corrupted, it is defiled. What happens when the church begins to practice those things which are going on around her, conforming herself to the teaching and the thinking of the world, and trying to please men instead of pleasing God, copying other religions? What we have done, we have corrupted ourselves. We have become morally depraved, and we have become nothing more than another church of men. That is corruption, and that will lead to apostasy. The next step is in Hosea 11 in verse number 7. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them one on high, none of all exalt me. You see, they were backsliding. Backsliding is to revert back to sin, and to wrong, and to disobedience. External sin is always preceded by internal deterioration of one's character. When one begins to digress, they are backsliding. When the people begin to follow the old ways again, they are backsliding. Backsliding into the past, backsliding back into sin, and backsliding into corruption. When this takes place, we are no longer moving forward, but we are giving up ground, and we are moving backwards, and digressing, and moving in the wrong direction. We are slipping back to what we once were, and we are becoming that which we hated, and that which we had departed from. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter warned of this, beginning in verse number 20. For if, after you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away their holy commandment delivered to them. But as happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. You see, backsliding, going backwards, digressing. The only way to stop backsliding is to cure the causes which lead up to it, and those we have already discussed. But when you have a lack of knowledge, when you have self-pride, when you have no instability in grounding in the truth, when you begin to mix with the world, when you begin to have corrupt character, you are backsliding and you're getting further and further and further away from God. Danger flag should go up. The last point that we want to look at is found in Hosea 13 in verse number 2. And now they sin more and more. They make for themselves molten images, idols, skillfully made from silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. It is a natural thing for all of mankind to worship something. If it is not God, then it will be something else. Look at what Baal and Molech did for Israel. They led them into all types of idolatry. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the great prophet Elijah had the great test on Mount Carmel to determine who was the true and living God. All these took place of God in their worship. They substituted to worship and admire and adorn something other than God. This is idolatry. We today can worship things. While maybe they're not objects or idols of graven images, they still fight the place of God in our lives. Money, job, time, pleasure, friends, power, materialism, the praise of men, All of them are external devotions that take away our devotion to God. Any or all can be placed as an idol before God. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, we are instructed to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. We're to first give ourselves to the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. And we are to have a willing mind, according to the same chapter in verse number 12. How do we prevent falling prey to this final step? By strict adherence to prevent the first six from ever occurring. We will all worship something. We will all put our time, our effort, our focus, and our heart into something. It either will be things of a physical nature, or they will be those things of a spiritual nature. They will be things that are temporary, fleeting, or they will be things that are eternal. But rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, we will worship something. Today, men either worship God or they worship something else, whether it be another religion, whether it be man, whether it be their money, their possessions, their family, pleasure, whatever it is, God plays second fiddle to nothing, to no one. If God is not first, then He has no place in the lives of His children. Can these lessons from Hosea be happening to the church today? We know that they are being played out right before our very eyes if we would just be honest and to look. How do we stop the onslaught of the media, the peer pressure, the self-centeredness, and the I generation that we live in? By getting back to Bible basics. Learn from the mistakes of those of the past. Do not repeat them, for our own destruction will be just as sure as theirs were. Will you fall? Will the church fall? Not if we correctly learn these lessons of old. The fall of Israel, in the book of Hosea, took seven short steps. Their lack of knowledge. They forgot to learn and to mature and to continue growing in their knowledge of God. Number two, they had self-centeredness. Their pride caused them to fall because they put their confidence in themselves instead of God. They had instability because they weren't firmly planted and grounded on spiritual principles and on dependence of God, and it would cause instability in their lives. And then they began to try to mix with the world, to be like the world and to hold on to God, the world in one hand and God in the other. This is a characteristic that's being played out every day in our society, when people have just enough religion to make them sick, but yet it's for naught. You cannot mix with the world. We are going to be different. We are going to be distinct. We are going to stand out because we have a different goal. We have a different focus. We have a different aim. And then it caused them to be corrupted in their mind and in their attitudes and in their actions. And then they began to backslide and went further and further away from God. And last step, they began to have idols in their life and put other things ahead of God and again before His things and His work and the love that we should have for Him. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the fall of Israel is a terrible but a compelling story. It is one that's being played out today, I'm afraid, in so many people's lives who claim to be religious because they have their priorities in the wrong place. What about you, dear listener? What is your relationship with God like? Are you in the danger of falling and drifting away like Israel of old? Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Lord's Day.